It's green for go. They're racing.
He says go.
He says ta-da.
And Tiger Tara roars away from them on the home turn.
Here comes another big boil over.
Equine Athleticism at its best. The King is in the castle once more.
This is in one race. The rest are almost in another postcode.
She is a star with a capital S.
It's going to be a triple treat. A miracle three-peat.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have witnessed history here at Menangle. What about that?
It's getting right up on the sprint lane and it's going to bolt in.
Hello and welcome to episode 91 of the Sprint Lane podcast. This is the Sunday session, a chance to look back at harness racing in New South Wales over the week. And we'll also have a look at what is going on. My name is Greg Hayes and it's great to have your company. The weather is getting colder as we move into winter and Mother Nature really let us have it at Club Menangle on Saturday night, wet and freezing cold. The track held up remarkably well considering the conditions, and importantly, the nine races were run and won. What's on the podcast today? Well, first up, there was some eureka news during the week when Summit Bloodstock and Aaron Bain Racing announced they would be teaming up with Clayton Tonkin with the Lost Storm this year. Of course, the Lost Storm raced for the Tab last year, but there is obviously a very close connection between ABR and Summit, and connections of the Lost Storm have decided to go a different way. Of course, ABR and Summit won the race last year when Encipher ran in their slot for Team Tonkin. Now, I've spoken to Jamie Dernberger a number of times on the podcast from Summit about a number of different topics, but I thought this week we might catch up with the other half of the partnership, Aaron Bain. Aaron himself is a leading trainer in South Australia. In fact, he's currently second on the premiership table in harness racing. He's also branched out as a thoroughbred trainer in the past couple of years, and it was announced during the week that he'd be training at a Lindsay Park. Now, obviously, that's a bit of galloping news, but I thought it'd be interesting to catch up with Aaron and have a chat to him about the Eureka, but also how he balances his time between the two codes, plus Summit and ABR. Now, they love a slot race, and I noticed during the week that Queensland have come up with this Ultimate Driver Series where slot holders would have drivers come and represent them in a 20-race series. Love the idea, love the concept. And I'll ask Aaron about that and what their plans are if they were to get a slot. Also want to speak with Troy Williams, the trainer of Little Bliss. Now, she's not a QE2 mare by any means, but she is the type of horse anyone would like to own. Last night, she recorded her 17th career victory when she won at Menangle, but it was her 10th win at headquarters. And importantly, she went past $250,000 in stakes. A huge effort for any horse, let alone a mare. And I thought it was important to mark the milestone by catching up with trainer Troy Williams to have a chat about her. Mr. T's back again this week. We've decided to make our punting challenges last for about 3 months. So we'll go on seasons. So we move into the winter season. The end of the first comp. The comp was won by me, Tip Bartello, last week on the show, and it paid upwards of $8. Mr. T had a winner as well, so I'll give you the full results, and then we'll kick off the winter tipping comp later in the show. Plus, the Menangle Express will be back. Lot to get through. So, let's first up speak with Eureka slot holder, Aaron Bain. Another piece in the Eureka puzzle was announced during the week when Aaron Bain and also Summit Bloodstock announced their runner this year. They were late to the puzzle pieces last year, but this year they've decided to go a little bit earlier with the Lost Storm. Aaron Bain is joining me to have a chat. G'day, Aaron. How are you?
Yeah, thanks, Greg. Thanks for having us on.
No problems at all. Bit earlier this time around with the Lost Storm, you're obviously very, very excited about the horse.
Yeah, look, I think there was no secrets about last year that the Lost Storm was the horse we wanted, and probably would have announced at a similar time last year, but Tab beat us to the punch last year, and then sort of one thing led to another, and it forced us to be late in announcing as things rolled out, and that was a blessing in disguise. So things happen for a reason, and successful there, and you know, maybe there's it's another storyline to be told this year as we reunite with the Lost Storm of what was going to be last year.
When you guys decided to get involved in the Eureka, was it did you know what you were getting involved in? Has it obviously winning the first one was pretty special and the way it all came about, but did you realise the size of the event that you were becoming involved in?
No, I don't think no one did. I don't think anyone did, to say the least. I think it's year one certainly exceeded everyone's expectations, and that's a credit to Harness Racing Australia, led by Andrew Kelly. The impact that the night itself had at Menangle, and then, you know, what's been the fruits that have been bared since from it has been, you know, just amazing to say the least. And I think everyone now, like without the Eureka, what are people talking about 365 days of the year, and what are people working towards, whether it be from breeding a champion to buying at the yearling sales to racing a champion. You know, and even now, like we're 3 months, 100 days out from the Eureka, and, you know, the phones are running hot. You know, we would have had two or three different phone calls from trainers, owners, wanting to get their horse into the slot, and without the Eureka, they're not interacting with the general public trying to do just that. So I think it brings many facets to the sport.
Was it a decision that was tough for you and the Summit team to come up with? Or obviously, you know, you're talking about being keen on the horse 12 months ago, so he's always been at the top of the list for this year?
Yeah, that as much as partnering with Emma Stewart and Clayton Tonkin, the team there. Obviously, we're successful with them in year one. We've gone with them in the Proto Star. We have a very strong association with them. We like to call ourselves a team with them. They're a big part of what we do, certainly buying the yearlings. We bought 20 new yearlings this year and sell to owners, you know, as we work through that, and all of them are to race with Emma and Clayton. So our juvenile space and racing at the top level is with them. And choosing the Lost Storm was as much about, you know, just not securing, but enforcing our partnership with them, that it's as much Arambane Racing and Summit Bloodstock as it is Tonkin Stewart Racing slot. And I would envisage that, you know, generally speaking, the slot's probably off limits for anyone else. It'd have to take a freak out of nature not to, for us to not partner with Emma and Clayton in the years coming forth.
How did the relationship between you and Jamie start from Summit Bloodstock? How did that all get going?
Yeah, Jake Webster and I trained in partnership many years back, and then sort of went our separate ways just for a short time. And Jake sort of met Jamie, and they formed Summit Bloodstock, and then you know, come back into the mix with basically the three of us. And you know, now it's very much one team. You know, we talk 24/7, and that's legitimately 24/7. The phone's pinging all hours of the morning, with Jamie staying up and dealing with America time zones and the like. He does a very good job in that space. You know, and no decisions made without, you know, basically the three of us. And, although it's two separate businesses, it's one plan and one dream that we're all working towards. So, yeah, it's a very, the three of us work very closely together.
And, you know, you're not just a harness trainer. You're a very successful gallops trainer as well. And a big announcement last week that you're going into Angaston in the old Hayes property. So that's a big feather in your cap as well.
Yeah, the thoroughbreds is something we moved into 2 years ago now. Started training, and, you know, we've slowly just built our team up. We started out very much like the harness horse. We started out with three horses, and that quickly become 10, 20, 30, and we've got a 50 thoroughbreds on our books here in Adelaide at the moment, with plans to double that in the next sort of 12 to 18 months. A facility like Angaston Park, formed Lindsay Park, and, you know, the Colin Hayes, David Hayes era, and Tony McAvoy. You know, the property's been unused for a couple of years, and the opportunity come about to work with Wayne Mitchell, the owner of the property, in you know, leasing the property as a racing training firm. You know, we're very excited about the move come July. So for us, our business and Summit Bloodstock, there's plenty happening. You know, with July, we've, you know, obviously on the back of that, we've got Confederate and Cannonball through the partnership with Cobbity there, and then also, you know, we move on to the Eureka. So over the next 3 or 4 months, there's plenty happening.
Mate, will you move more towards the thoroughbreds and the standardbreds there in South Australia, or, you know, your interest in standardbreds here to stay?
No, I wouldn't do one without the other, and I've been open in saying that from the outset. And the standardbreds, we're still working sort of 55 here in Adelaide, probably 15, no more than 15 to 20 in the race team. But the bulk of them, that sort of the other 30 that are always in work, are, again, with that relationship with Emma and Clayton, we work very closely with them. All the yearlings that we've bought from around Australia, plus a couple that we've bred that haven't been sold, are here, and they'll do their first sort of 12 to 18 months preparing. They'll trial, and then they'll go across to Emma and Clayton to races 2 and 3 year olds and beyond, and hopefully find, you know, our next Miss Australia owner with them, who started through that same process. So, you know, that's very much our plan, and you know, we're certainly very much about increasing our quality of horses, both on harness and thoroughbreds, to be able to travel with them. You know, although we reside in SA, we're very much a national business, both up and some at Bloodstock, and you know, that was only seen last week with, you know, On the Mighty Lucy. We travelled out of Tasmania to win, you know, 2 weeks apart, the Lee Plunkett Memorial, and we'll be doing more of that in the future, whether it be Tasmania or travelling and working in very closely with Emma and Clayton.
And mate, the owners, the continual, I guess, your increase in owners, has that just come from success? That's attracted more people towards the team?
Yeah, certainly. Like, it's something we've been very much focused on. I think as you evolve and business plans change, you take a different approach and look about what works for you. And that this year for us is very much about that. You know, we've been very open in saying 2024 is a year of strategic consolidation for our businesses, you know, and what that is going to look like in 25 and beyond. So it's getting a few areas of the business set to you know, operate, you know, where we, in the spaces we want to operate in. And, you know, then from there, we'll be, you know, more actively seeking the right owners in the right areas and bringing them, you know, the best success at the highest level we can, you know. So, you know, we've been open in getting a lot of people a part of what we're doing and getting to the race and giving that winning feeling. But I think as much it's about getting the right people to partner with us, and that's something we're very much focused on. You know, the larger we grow, at times you've just got to sit back, smell the rose a little bit, consolidate, and then, you know, get ready for future growth plans, which, you know, we're very focused on our business plan behind the scenes and working towards what it looks like, and that's for us and everyone involved with us.
It's very exciting. You guys all love the slot races. I've spoken to Jamie about it a number of times, not just in harness racing, involved in the Greyhound slot races, and now Queensland during the week announced they were going to have a driver slot race, the ultimate driver, that was open to any A-grade driver in Australia and to any driver in the world. And my first thought was you boys would be very keen on this idea.
Yeah, and no, we'll certainly like to be a part of it, and we'll put a submission forward, a strong submission forward. You know, we've been active in all slot races around Australia, and as you mentioned there, even in the Greyhound space. So, you know, the Eureka, we call it the Everest of harness racing. We were lucky enough, obviously, to win that, and you know, hopefully one day that works us towards a slot in the Everest with that thoroughbred arm we've got. So, you know, the driving slot racing in Queensland is just part of that. The Protostar Elite into it as well. You know, so slot racing, we've long said it's certainly a big part of the future of racing as you look to increase different revenue streams for horses and owners and, you know, the marketing of the sport. And what's been put together here with Racing Queensland is, yeah, unbelievable. It's going to attract interest from all over the world. And, you know, certainly if successful, and hopefully we are successful in getting a slot, we'll get very creative, like obviously our approach to the Eureka was.
Yeah, you mentioned Jamie's always up with the, you know, keeping his tabs on what's going on in America with the horses over there. So I get the feeling that, you know, you blokes might even look to bring someone in big time, a really big name, if you get the opportunity.
Well, Charles is still going to come back out to Australia, so he owes us. That was only shelved. It was put on ice for a year or two when the opportunity best suited. So we're still in talks with that team, and he'll be out here in Australia one day. This might well be it. You know, we've just got to get him a license. But again, you know, he might not compete at the level of a Tim Tetrick or Todd McCarthy or, you know, a Mark Pitt, Luke McCarthy, those here. But he'll certainly add a marketing dimension. That's not letting anything out of the bag, but that's where we'll get creative but treat it seriously at the same time, because you know, there's money on the line. There's pride on the line, but ultimately it's about bringing awareness to our great game.
Mate, 5 years ago, did you think you would ever be in the position where you are today? Like, the business has exploded.
Yeah, it's interesting when you say 5 years ago. When I used to be in my previous job, I used to ask that to a lot of people, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And certainly not. You know, when you look back where we were 5 years ago, and we only joked about it through the week, that you're buying $2,000 and $3,000, $4,000 horses to try and win a couple of restricted races with at Port Pirion. That's where Jake and I cut our teeth. And now you're sort of talking the likes of Confederate, Cannonball, you know, bringing them out from Australia with Cobbity Farms. to stand here in Australia, you know, Eureka slot races, the like, and then, you know, with the Thoroughbred R moving to Angaston, all those different elements that we've done along the way have led to this. But, you know, we've got to be smart about what our business looks like moving forward. And, you know, it's all well and good, you know, to have success, it has to be measured success, and it has to be, you know, about lining up with where our business plan is. And I think we're seeing that a lot clearer now with some of the different avenues that we're targeting. And, you know, it's really good to work, you know, very closely with Jake and Jamie, the three of us. We work really well together. We work really hard, long hours, plenty goes into it. So certainly what the next 5 years looks like, hopefully it's just as exciting.
And, mate, just finally, how many hours a week are you working? Are you working 10, 12, 14-hour days?
Oh, all of that, yeah. And that's not like everyone does. I think what goes unnoticed a lot is people in the harness, any horse industry, the long hours, whether it be from breeding to training to driving, the drivers, every one of us in this industry work day and night, you know, and if you don't, you're not putting enough into it. And it always says is, you know, you only get in what you put out. And that's not just me. It's not Jake and Jamie. It's everyone, you know, and there's, it's not me that just does the long hours. You need to do that, unfortunately, in this game to make it. Yes, we do a lot of hours, but when you love what you do, as plenty of people say, it's not work, you know. And, you know, I was working full-time up until about 12, 15 months ago. I'm still working full-time. I've never worked harder for less money, but, you know, it's about following a dream, and that's what the three of us are doing as ABR and Summit Bloodstock, and hopefully we can inspire many more people to do it.
What did you do before you got into it?
Yeah, I worked for a manufacturing and company, Arns Group. So they were I was general manager for the silo rural business, managing the silo operations all over Australia.
Yeah.
So I was there for 14 years up until basically March, April last year. So then sort of made the leap of faith to come and make what is today, you know, Arambane Racing and Summit Bloodstock the force it is, and, you know, just sort of realign a few business plans to put as much effort we can into, you know, making as far as we can in the game.
Well, mate, great to catch up with you. I'm looking forward to the Eureka, looking forward to all of the feature racing coming up. There's a lot to be excited about, and all the best of luck. Thanks for joining me today.
No, thanks for having us on, Greg.
Little Bliss and trying to drive up behind those Teresa Love, and here come the big guns in betting. Amore, Infidei and Pandaya to the outside, but Sea Story tries to pinch it. In second, Posse Lovarecious getting out after it. Pandaya is running on. There's no Amore, Infidei, and Teresa Love's getting right up on the inside. Little Bliss gets out. Big finish. Sweeping up in the middle now. Little Bliss goes up to join Lovarecious. Little Bliss, this bonnie mare, she's going to win another one at headquarters, and Little Bliss beats Lovarecious. Big run, Teresa Love third.
Well, Little Bliss, what a success story she is. Last night, she won again at Menangle. She makes a habit of it. She won recently at Menangle. Brings up more than $250,000 in stakes throughout her career, which is a remarkable achievement in itself. But also, with that win last night, brings up her tally of 10 Menangle winners. That's a really good feat for trainer Troy Williams, and he's joining me to have a chat. Congratulations, Troy. Really well done with that mare.
Yeah, thanks, mate. It's been a great little ride with her, and to win last night and crack the 250K, and I didn't realise it was 10 Metro winners with her, and so it was a really, really good night, and you know, spoke to the owners afterwards, and they're extremely happy, so she's done a great little job.
She seems to go around week after week after week. She's a very tough mare that you can just continue to take to the races.
Yeah, she does. You know, we generally race sort of 3 or 4 weeks in a row, and then maybe miss one and then go another 3 or 4. And, you know, she just thrives on the racing. So, you know, I think things have got to pan out her way, as they do with most horses in the races, and get the right racing pattern. But, you know, last night she sort of over a mile, I think she's suited better to the 2300, but over the mile we sort of come off the arm, and young Jack drove her extremely well and slipped into a nice position, was able to get out at the top of the straight, and, you know, she made it home. If she sees a bit of fresh air at the top of that Menangle straight, she takes a little bit to wind up, but once she does, she hits top gear, and yeah, she motors home.
She's handy because of that gate speed she's got. If you choose to use it, like Jack did last night, you can get yourself into a nice position. But she doesn't have to be used for that speed, because if you do save her up, like she showed a couple of weeks ago, she gets to the outside and lets down.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, look, I prefer to drive a Ford over the mile to sort of lob handy, because the racing pattern now at Menangle, you know, it's sort of becoming very similar in all races, where they'll sort of sit up that second quarter and then dash home. And if she sort of is back in the field, it makes it a little bit hard. But over 2,300, we've got options. We can go back with her. And, you know, if they run a genuine tempo and, she can rattle down the outside as she did a couple of weeks ago, and she's right in the mix.
Mate, there must be a good story behind it. She started a career with Blake Fitzpatrick and then found her way to your stable.
Yeah. Blake had her early days, and Ronnie Littler sent her here, and he's been a great and loyal owner of our stable, and it's great to see him get the results, you know, because he puts a lot of time and effort and finances into the breeding and training of his own stock, and sells a few through the sales as well. So, she came across, and we raced her around Penrith, and it was actually at one point, you know, Ron and I spoke, and there was discussions of whether or not we send her out into the country. She'd sort of gone through the grades here, and then we, unfortunately, or fortunately for her, we got washed out here in the floods and went to Menangle, and we gave her a trial down there, and she trialed in 52 and went really, really sharp. And a driver, Rob Morris, said, look, leave her down there and see what happens. And we popped her in the TAB Regional Championship, and she ran second in a heat and I think fourth in the final. And then another constellation, she came out to run second again, and a couple of weeks later put three or four in a row, I think. So she sort of never looked back from that point.
Does she need the bigger tracks, or can you take her back to Penrith or one of the small tracks if there's a race that suits her?
Yeah, probably not ideal. We have tried it, and you know, she got a bit rough. She can get a bit sketchy on the corners. She's, you know, we've nursed some niggling issues with her, but we seem to be sort of, you know, in good stead at the moment. But you know, she hasn't been an easy horse to sort of maintain by any means. But you know, I'd probably stick to sort of the tracks where possible. You know, I'm not too worried about 1,000-metre track. Those sort of tight 800-metre tracks probably not ideal for her at this point in her career.
And what about around the stable? Is she a nice mare, or is she nice to have around the place, or does she carry on a bit?
No, she's a pain in the backside, to be honest with you. she's one of those horses. She's beautiful to drive, but she's one of those horses that you could have a tree falling down for, you know, 10 months and she'll spot it one day and flip a lid. You know, she's a very nervous sort of head shy horse. And when we're at the races, you know, everyone's barred from giving her a pat, you know, even the owners pick until afterwards, because she just throws the head around. She's not real happy about it. But other than that, she's quite good, but she can be a pain sometimes.
What about Ron? You mentioned he likes breeding, and at some stage she's going to make a fantastic broodmare. Has there been any talk about how long she'll continue to race on for?
Yeah, look, you know, not very long. So we were aiming at the 250K with her sort of midway through last season, and thought we might be able to achieve it. And she rattled that up pretty quick over the last 3 weeks. So she's probably only got the next 3 or 4 weeks to go. There's a couple of races there for her. I think there's a mare's race, open mare's race next week, and a couple of others. But then she'll go to letdown in the paddock, and she's booked into Captain Treacherous for this season, this breeding season. So, yeah, she'll go and be a mum.
Wow, that's going to be some nice breeding there. It'll be interesting to see whether Ron, you know, as you said, he likes to put them through the sales as well, whether he keeps this one or sells in a couple of years' time.
Yeah, definitely. Look, you know, she's well-bred, and, you know, she's a half to my ultimate Ronnie, who's done a super job as well. And, you know, Ronnie Littler bred that one, and, you know, Jared and Scotty Whitten do a great job there. And, you know, we've got a couple others here. We've got a half-sister, a Better's Delight half-sister, and a Captain Treacherous half-sister yearling as well. So we've got some nice stock coming through, you know, from that family. But I think she'll be a great little broodmare herself. And whether he goes to the sales, I'll leave that up to him.
mate, what about the rest of the stable? How's everything travelling at the moment?
Yeah, really good. You know, team's starting to sort of fire again. We had a bit of a layoff period there, and things probably weren't going our way, but the last sort of month to 6 weeks, we've had quite a few winners. Got 5 in a week there the other week, and 3 at Bankstown meeting, and it's just been starting to kick over again. But, you know, all stables go through it. You know, you have your purple patches, and you have your times where you scratch your head. But no, they're all starting to go pretty well again, which we're pretty happy.
And mate, I saw you back, or you're in the cart again on Thursday night. You still love the driving?
Not as much as probably what I used to. I'd, you know, leave to the professional guys. But, you know, I pop my head in every now and again. And, you know, we almost got there at Newcastle the other night with one. But, you know, I don't mind it, but I'll leave it up to the professionals, to be honest.
Sure. So, in terms of horses that you've had during your career, where does this little mare sit?
Well, in terms of dollar rankings, she's pretty well up there. You know, we had Iona Grinner. I think she won 260, 265, and she went on to be a broodmare. And this mare and the little horse called Affair to Covers quite quickly racking up the dollars, and he's been a great little trotter as well. So, but this mare's been, you know, really good to us, and you know, she's had some nice wins probably through times where we're a little bit tough. So, pulls you out of the hole a little bit. So, she's been probably a real nice sort of stalwart for a couple of years in our stable. And the great thing is that, you know, she's probably one of the ones that we can go on a Saturday night to Menangle with and earn good money. And it's hard to find a Saturday night horse. So, you know, she's been a great little mare for us.
Yeah, well, when I was going through having a look at the replays this morning, and I saw the fact that she brought up that 250, and I thought, you know, sometimes things don't get noticed and get mentioned when they deserve to, because she has. She goes around week in, week out. She's always thereabout. She's always competitive. Doesn't matter what grade she's racing in. And I thought it was well worth noting the fact that she picked up a 10th win and at Menangle, and also $250,000 in stakes. So, mate, congratulations. Well done with her. And we look forward to seeing the next little bit of her racing career before she heads off to being a mum.
Good on you, Hazy. Thanks very much.
Time for the Menangle Express. We start with race one. Bluto was the $2.15 favourite. There was speed at the start from Bluto, Pars Guarantee and Pete Said So, with Pete Said So crossing Pars Guarantee and Bluto. It didn't take Cam Hart long to come around and have a bite for the lead. They settled down like this. Pars Guarantee, Pete Said So, Bluto, Wave the Bill, Surf Ace, Tuppence, Jillaby Nitro, Double Encounter, Arden's Ace and JOK all in single file. Lead time 49.3. Gavin Fitzpatrick came away from the inside as they went past the bell with JOK, and that started the running line. Jillaby Nitro came out in front, so behind him it was JOK, Surface, Double Encounter, 29.7, 30.3. Will Rixon left plenty of room for Bluto to come out off the pegs, but Hewitt stayed in, 27.6 around the side. Pars Guarantee kicked, got home. Bluto was full of running but couldn't get into the clear and had to ease around Jillaby Nitro and JOK. 27.3 home for a 154.9 mile. Smart drive. The move got... That move to go to the front early was the winning one. Jillaby Nitro was good after leading up the running line. Good drive Fitzpatrick on JOK to get cover. Bluto unlucky. I think Hewitt would have come off if he got his time over. The old perennials, Arden's Ace and Tuppence, both get ticks from the tail of the field. Race two, the fave was Colonia Courage at $4. There was a lot of speed early here. Foxy Dada, Colonia Courage, Raka Dan, Nicholas Cage. Nicholas Cage crossed to the front, but spent petrol doing it. 25.5 the first quarter. On the pegs, Nicholas Cage, Foxy Dada, Colonia Courage, Rockley Image, and Caught on the Edge. Off the pegs, Raka Dan, Shades of Heaven, Van Basten, Dance and Deliver, and Corby Stumbler. 29.2 through the second quarter, so the speed was pretty good. When they got to the cages, Van Basten took off three wide. It was more like a Harold Park race than Menangle, with that three wide train starting, running into the final corner. 29.4 the third quarter. Those out wide slingshotted past the leaders. So Van Basten, Dance and Deliver, and Corby Stumbler all went together. Nicholas Cage lost his compass on the home turn, presented a run to Foxy Dada. Colonia Courage was only plain when it got into the straight. 27 up the straight for a 151.1 overall mile rate. Ricky Alchin's team's going really well at the moment. Smart drive too. Probably underrated as a driver, I'd think, Ricky. Thought Nicholas Cage battled on okay up the straight, and Foxy Dada's racing well too. Race number three, fave here, Outside Fighter at $2.70. Longer trip, there was some speed in this one. Has the Courage crossed down, and then Vinky B worked forward and took the lead. They settled down in Indian file. Vinky B has the Courage, Outside Fighter, Kaitoa, Grey Cadillac, Captain Blood, Our Southern Star, Titifar, Colin Bromack, and Windy Hill Tara. The lead time was 50.2, and this time Windy Hill Tara was out in the straight for the first time to get cover. Titifar came out in front of it to give it cover. Colin Bromack came out into the running line as well. It was one out, two back. 30.7 the first quarter, and as the running line crept forward, Outside Fighter came off the inside, not wanting to be pocketed, and Outside Fighter then went to war with Vinky B in front. 30 seconds the second quarter, 28.2 round the side. Has the Courage looked to be battling behind the leader. Vinky B rolled off the inside turning, and the rest fanned. Windy Hill Tara came with a run down the outside. Has the Courage rallied on the inside and fought strongly. 28-2 final quarter, 157 the mile. Good effort by the winner. Good drive by Turnbull. Made things happen. Has the Courage surprised me. Thought it was gone. Came again. The rest hit the line together in a clump. Captain Blood was okay late, going back to the inside. Race number four, Fave was a Pandaya at $2.80. Speed early from Lovarecious, Sea Story and Little Bliss. Sweet Coco galloped at the start, and as the starter said go, and veered left. Sea Story crossed Lovarecious, and Little Bliss made enough room to get three pegs, followed by the Vixen, You Take My Breath Away, Amore Infida, Pandaya, Heavenly Holly, and Teresa Love. 27 the first quarter. As they approached the half, the Vixen came off the inside. Everything behind her came off except for Teresa Love. 30.9 second quarter, Pandaya and Amore Infida came out three wide before the turn. Got squeezy around that home turn with You Take My Breath Away and Amore Infida coming together. 28 the third quarter, Sea Story was collared by Lovarecious. Little Bliss got off the pegs as well, left a huge gap for Teresa Love, who just kept taking inside runs. Little Bliss grabbed them late. Lovarecious got second. Smart drive Gemma Coney on Teresa Love for third. 27.7 for a 153.6 mile. Pandaya was too far back, couldn't make up the ground late. No knock on her. Race five. Fave here was high. My name is Jeff at $1.50. As expected, it blasted off the gate and found the top, and they went into single file. Hi, my name is Jeff. Kanina Provlima, Montalbano, Max Delight, On Deadline, Typo, Max Da Vinci, or Mac Da Vinci, Where You Been Bopping, Firefox, and I Break the Line. 27-2 first quarter, and with 900 to go, Firefox was off the inside trying to get some cover. Mac Da Vinci came out, but then Typo came out in front of him. And as that running line crept up, Max Delight came off the inside to be first over. 30.4, and then the speed went on. 27.5, dash up the straight, 26.2, a 151.3 mile. First four on the pegs finished in the first four placings. So of the run on horses, I Break the Line didn't do a bad job at all. Up in grade, getting a long way back. Good effort. It can be very competitive in something a little bit weaker. Hi, my name is Jeff's going to have some fun in these free-for-alls without Swayze around his stablemate. That is for sure. Race number six, the Waratah final. Fave here, reason being at $2.30. There wasn't a lot of speed in this one. Eric the Kicker held pretty comfortably, and they found their positions quickly. Pegs, it was Eric the Kicker, reason being Sally Big Time, Far Out Ringo. Running line was Watto's Blaze of Glory, Magic Shoes, Freddie T, Love 2, and Serene Princess. 28.1, then 30.2. Justin Reynolds took off on Serene Princess, approaching the half, three wide, and that put some speed into the race. Love 2 tried to get onto that three wide train, couldn't. 27.9 round the side. Eric the Kicker was travelling. In fact, it looked as though the pegs was going to be the place to be. Up the straight, reason being waited to come to the outside to have one dash at Eric the Kicker. Couldn't reel in the leader. Far Out Ringo stuck to the inside, nailed third with Sally Big Time. Just getting tired in the straight after coming off the pegs, turning for home. 28.2 up the straight, 154.4 overall. Not a lot to highlight in that one, to be honest. Race number seven, Fave here was Cheeky Kiss at $1.80. Thought There was some speed early from Cheeky Kiss and a lot of lovin', but Cheeky Kiss was able to cross down to the pegs in front of a lot of lovin'. Then on the pegs was Bettine and Payroll, Running Line, Amazing Grace, Dracaena, Forceful, Harmony, and Doris Pay the Bill. Takaha was caught three wide, worked to the chair. By the time they got to the 900-metre mark, so it took it a while to get there, quarters were 27.9, 30.4, and 28.7. Turning for home, Cheeky Kiss was travelling well. A lot of lovin' came off the inside to have a crack. Harmony got to the outside to have one late charge. A lot of lovin' looked as though it might get there in the shadows of the post, but Cheeky Kiss, to its credit, fought hard to score. Harmony rattled down the outside late to finish fourth. I thought Doris to Pay the Bill was good up the straight and didn't get a lot of luck at a vital time. 27.3 final quarter, 154 for the mile. Race eight, that was the two-year-old New South Wales bred final. Fave here was Otto's Wealth at $1.55. Angelic Attitude showed anything but that when it galloped in the score up, took no competitive part. Speed from Two Cracked Corn, who led on the pegs. Behind it was Marty Brings a Party, Looking Good Margie, and Tough as Old Boots. The running line was Walter Warlock, Dance with Karma, and Otto's Wealth. 28 and then 30.2. So the speed was solid enough on the wet track. At the cages, Cam Hart took off on Dance with Karma and turned it into a staying test. 29.4 around the side. Otto's Wealth looked to come to the outside before the turn, but it didn't move as quickly as the punters would have liked. Dance with Karma hit the front. Walter Warlock fought back, but it was in the middle. and Two Crack Corn had rolled off the inside, but Dance With Karma held on. Again, smart drive, Cam Hart. Walter Warlock was brave. Otto's Wealth didn't do a lot. Might have to forgive just being on that wet track. And race 9, fave here was Toro Stride at 220. A few didn't begin well. Toro Stride, Powder Keg, Ravon Hall all galloped. Sonny G then broke as well. It took itself out of play. Toro Stride got down quickly enough and worked forward. In fact, it worked around them and found the front, and they went into Indian File. So it was Toro Stride, Chief Running Cloud, Leaf Stride, It's Fergie Time, Aldebaran Jensen, Courage Stride, Caligula, and Powder Keg. 54.9 the lead time, then 29.5 and 31.4. Caligula and Powder Keg galloped as they approached the half. 30.1 around the side. Leaf Stride made its move, and Chief Running Cloud moved soon after, and Chief Running Cloud went past the leader, Toro Stride. Leaf Stride loomed, but never really looked like getting Chief Running Cloud. 28.1 up the straight for a mile rate of 21.7. Blowout for the punters, lit up the tote board. Toro Stride was plain, must have had an issue or didn't like the wet track. Aldebaran Jensen flew home for third but was well beaten. Powder Keg, it's got some gate issues, but gee, it's got some ability. Best win of the night, I'm going to go with Van Basten. Was helped with a early speed battle, but really put them away when it did move. Hi, my name is Jeff, was very impressive first up from a spell as well. But I'm going to go with Van Basten. Best beaten performance of the night, I'm going to go with Jillaby Nitro here. Not a horse that's known for his ability to work without cover, and he had to lead up the running line. I thought his effort was really good. He'll draw well soon, and he'll be winning. So that's Jillaby Nitro. Follow him. Best driver of the night, well, I think you've got to go with Jack Brown on Little Bliss. She can be a little bit of a worry in Metro Grade when used off the gate, but Jack got her in three pegs, then presented her up the straight. Really good drive by Jack Brown. So, driver of the night, Jack Brown.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Winning. Hey, that's pretty good.
Winner.
That was legitness.
That I say, all right, all right, all right.
Wow, winning.
Bam. Just like that. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. A winner.
The winner was both of us, actually. I tipped Bartello at $8.10. Mr. T found Renault Ace at $2.20. So we both end that round as a winner. Overall, I finished with a positive $36. Mr. T was minus 41 for that first round. So I take a 1-0 lead in the series. On to the new round. Mr. T, race 5 at Wagga. No Bathurst Fields out for Wednesday, so he's a little bit hamstrung. Race 5, number 6, Forever Yin at Wagga. Kai Bloomfield takes the drive for Ellen Jones as a 5-point claimer. Looks well placed as a result of that claim and hoping to get back into the winner's list after running second two starts ago. That's race 5, number 6. And race 6, number 10, Quick Shift Girl for Chris Hughes. Looks ideally placed here as the winner of its last two, and she might take some holding out over the short trip. So race 6, number 10, Quick Shift Girl. My two, both at Menangle. Race, that's Tuesday, Menangle. Race 5, number 9, Where's Harry? Won its first race, and that was when it debuted, and Mr. T found it at Bathurst, and I watched it, and I thought, gee, it was impressive, and it looked to have a fair bit up its sleeve in the straight. So it's stepping up to Tuesday company, but it looks ready to make that step, I think. So that's Tuesday, Menangle. Race 5, number 9, Where's Harry? And race 8, number 6, Ryan's Gangster. It's been racing really well in Tuesday grade. Led all the way two starts ago at big odds. And then last start finished third after coming from near last when the speed was on. Look, it's got a few options. It can go forward. It can go back. But like the draw, like the claim, young Lucas Rando takes the drive. And I think it'll take some beating. So race 8, number 6, Ryan's Gangster. That just about wraps up the podcast for the week. Thank you to Aaron Bain and Troy Williams for coming on today. Hope you've had a great week, and I'll catch you again next Sunday for the Sunday session.